So it's all recorded. Once we get the password for the website, we'll be able to upload it, and then everyone can go on the website and just listen to it again. This morning, the topic I'm talking about is fulfilling your potentials. I believe I will have shared this before, but God is laying in my heart after the message from our brother Jan that God, we should talk more about this as well. And I'm looking at the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. And I won't be able to read everything from the beginning, but Hebrews 11, 39 and 40 is what I will just want us to quickly look at. And it says that, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God bless the reading of the word. As we all know, we're Bible students, we all know as Hebrews 11 started, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love that word because substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So you're basically saying, I've not seen it, but I know it's there. But fulfilling your potentials. Science has made us understand that we've only used 10% of our brain in the world. There is no amount of activities that you do that you can use more than 10% of your brain. I don't know how that is, because sometimes you study and you have headache, so you've not even used 10% of your brain. That's what science says. And it just shows you there's no limit to what human brain can accomplish. And this is true, because for me, growing up, I don't know computer, because it wasn't there. It wasn't available when I was in school. And this week, I've been sharing with some of the mates I met in the course of my journey in work. And the first time I came into computer was through my wife. She was the first person to teach me how to use a computer. I used to go to her school then, where she was a computer teacher. And I used to sit down, and she would teach me how to press computers. And then I went to work in a place, and that's the first time they brought computer to my front. In those days, what we knew was word processors. When I started as a lawyer, we have typists. We have typing pool, and they are the people that type all the paperwork for us and everything. That's what I know, but computer came. And that is another way of brain, how we've developed as human. Then now, we used to have a big computer. I think it was Lord Sugar that did the first box computer, one very big box computer that you put in front of you. Now, the phone that the children hold in their hand is a computer. The phone is much more powerful than all the computer you have in your house. Just one phone. And that's how much we've developed so much. And it shows you that is how we progress. But you know that in this life, even with all that, we're still not achieving our full potential. And sometimes we can be engrossed with everyday life. Just like my brother said, we can be engrossed with everyday life. We want to do everything and don't achieve anything. Does that make sense? We do everything, but we don't achieve anything. These days, you say, a day is not even enough to do a work. But then you ask yourself, what have I done in a day? That's how much it is. And we continue with all this stress, but yet we all have God-given desire that we should fulfill our potentials. I've shared with us before about Solomon Grundy. I don't know Solomon Grundy's Nazi rhyme. He says, this is how he says it. Born on Monday, christened on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, took ill on Thursday, grew worse on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. And that is the end of Solomon Grundy. I bet that is the way some of us live. We just live like Solomon Grundy. So he was born, Christian, married, took ill, grew worse, died, buried. There's nothing to write home about anything that Solomon Grundy did. This is the same thing with our work life. With our, I am guilty of this as well. I'm very guilty of this because that's what we do. We run around every day. But the question we need to ask ourselves is that what God wants us to do? Is that what God wants us? Is that how God wants us to live? Or do we just want to live like Solomon Grundy? The answer to this is no. The Bible says, I know the plan I have for you, the plan of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. I basically have had different experiences in life. When I was in the university, and because his students are returning back to university this year, it comes to my mind as well. One of my lecturers was encouraging us, says, do not just pass through university, let university pass through you. As Christians, Jesus followers, Jesus wants us to live a highly productive life. And how do I know that? I see the parable of the sower, Matthew 13. The parable of the sower. It talked about different people that were given different talent, different seed to sow. And the sower went out, he sowed in different places. He said some fell on hard ground. Some fell on soft land with stones and everything. But he did not talk about the result that they all had. He talked about the result of that one that fell on a good land. Matthew 13, verse 8. And this is how he described it. Matthew 13, 8. And he says that, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some in 60-fold, some in 30-fold. So he's talking about the achievement of the seed that fell on a good ground that brought result. And it just shows you that as people that are called out, we have potential to bring result into the kingdom. He also talked about those men that were given talent. Jesus, in one of Jesus' parables, those men that were given talent. And those ones, he gave talent to different people. But what did he say at the end? The one that did not achieve anything with his talent, they took what he had and gave it to the one that achieved something with his talent. He took what that one has and gave it to the one that achieved something with his talent. Basically, encouraging the one that has achieved potential, that achieved something, to achieve more. And in all these things, what he's saying to us is that to achieve our potentials, it lies in our relationship with Jesus. It is not living and struggling with everything in our hand. It is not our knowledge. Look at that word. I know the plan I have for you. Not your plan. I know the plan that I have towards you, for you. The plan of God for you. What is the plan of God for you? He said, I know the plan I have towards you. A plan of good. So the plan of God for you is good. A plan of good to bring you to an expected end. Jesus, in his teaching, was talking about attaining full potential. And we must not forget everything around. We must forget everything around us and concentrate on our walk with God. Anyone that leaves his father, that's what he said, anyone that leaves his father and his mother and cleave unto me. That's the way he put it in Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 29-30. Luke 18, 29 to 30. This is what he said. And he said unto him, I say unto you, truly there is no one who has left his father, his wife, his brother, or parents, or children for the sake of the kingdom, who would not receive in return many times more in this world and in eternal life. That's the Amplified Version. So there is a potential, there's a way of achieving our full potential is by cleaving, trusting God for our life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Your potential should not be driven by ambition or what you can achieve, your success. Your potential should not be, like our brother Allen was saying, what am I able to do? It should not be centered on you. It is about recognizing God. As Christian, that is what God wants you to. That's the potential God wants you to achieve. The full potential can only be achieved if you recognize God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. Sometimes, we become overambitious with ourselves. And as a result, we do not attain anything. We do not attain anything. When you look at the men, the heroes of faith, as recorded in Hebrew, many of them trusted God more than anything else. Abraham, the Bible says he was looking for a city whose founder and builder was God. The first madness. He was looking for a city whose founder and builder was God. And as a result of this, it was counted unto him as righteousness. So Abraham's life was not, what am I going to achieve? How am I going to become rich? How am I going to be this? But it is, what is the plan of God for me? And today, the world, every world acknowledge the person of Abraham. At least we sing that song, Abraham's blessings are mine. Because we want to align ourselves with Abraham. Because we can see the success in the person of Abraham. David is another example. David trusted God in all his ways. He acknowledged God in all his ways. And what did God call that to him? He called David a man after my heart. Even with all his sinful nature, God called him a man after my heart. What was David doing? One of the things that I love about David, and I've said this several times as well, is the fact that David is a warrior. He was trained, he became a warrior, he was trained a warrior, he was able to defeat Goliath, and he was able to do all those things. But what does he do when he wants to go to war? He asked God, should I go? He asked God, should I go to that war? In your own workplace, be honest with yourself. Do you ask God before you take a job? Do you ask God before you embark on a journey? Do you ask God before you plunge yourself into activities that you have to do? As Christians, we're encouraged to pray without ceasing. When you're walking out of your house, what do you do? Do you pray? Do you ask God to lead you, to guide you, to direct you? Do you seek His face in everything that you do? Secondly, our brother Alan has talked about that this morning. Do you obey Him when He directs you? Do you obey Him when He directs you? Obeying God's words. There's so many things about achieving potentials, achieving full potentials. God sent the children of Israel to Canaan land to go and spy the land. And they went there. They met Rahab and Lot. Rahab is one of the heroes of faith that was written in that list. They met Rahab the harlot. And I believe that Rahab will have met many men before then. But she met them and saw them as people of God. And what did she do? She listened to what they said to her because she believed it was the word of God. I think it was sometime this week or last week I was discussing with someone. Rahab would have given them up to the king, and she would have got a good reputation in the kingdom, saying, "These are spies that have come to my land." No. But she kept them there. She protected them. She believed that they've come from God. She obeyed the will and the direction of God that God has given them. And at the end of the day, all she said to them was, "Don't forget, when you have achieved all this," because she believed it was God that was sending them, "when you have achieved all this, do not forget me. Do not." And that was just it. Because she obeyed God's word, her family was protected. The common factors among all the heroes of faith listed in Hebrew was that they had God's words, they believed God's words, and they obeyed God's words. They had it, they believed it, and they obeyed it. How often as Christians do you wait to hear from God? How often do you believe in what God has told you? How often do you obey God's words? It can be tough. It can be difficult. And hearing, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Hearing is a very, very important thing for a Christian. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to hear from God. There's a need for you to have the Holy Spirit inside of you to hear from God. There's a word, like I said when about what Brother Yan said on Thursday, a word in a season. You see, this scripture here is very easy to read it as a literature. You know that. It's very easy because it has interesting stories. It's poetry, it's stories, it's different things. And you can just forget yourself and read it as a literature. But you see, the Bible made us understand that the word is given to us to edify us, to uplift us. The word is given to us to edify us and to uplift us. But that edification will not be possible except we have the Holy Spirit inside us. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can interpret the word into your heart and mind and can apply it into your present situation. Because there's nothing that you're going through that is not in the scripture. There's nothing. Life challenges is there. There's nothing you're going through that is not in the scripture. But then, when you read it and the Spirit is talking to you, do you believe the word? Because many people had Jesus Christ. We had what our brother Andrew read this morning. Jesus came to his own community and they did not believe him. He couldn't do any miracle because of their unbelief. Do you believe in him? Do you believe in his word? If he tells you it is well with you, do you believe that it is well with you? Do you believe in the word of God that comes to you? And if you believe, do you obey it? Obedience is the most important thing in Christianity. You might have your plan. The Bible says is God's plan is not your plan. His ways are not your ways. As far as heaven is to the earth, so is his plan and ways to us. The funny thing is that we might want things this way, but do we know how God wants it? Or do we see God's face as to, God, how do you want us to do these things? Sometimes man make plans, but God fulfill them. Man make plans. We make a lot of plans. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be the prime minister. I want to be this. But no, God fulfill them. The plan of God for you is good and not of evil. You may be sitting there and be saying to yourself, it is not that simple. Life throws big challenges these days. It's technology and things are different from the Bible days. But I can boldly say to you that time and tide may change, but God never changes. The plan of God remain the same. His plan towards you remain the same. The same situation that you have in the world today is what you have. People are still migrating the way Abraham did. People are still expecting miracles of babies as Sarah did. Exploitation is still the same as in Moses' days. The good thing for us is that we are now privileged to now hear from God. Not just hearing by speaking, but hearing in the word that we have in our hand, and it's easy to access. The people in those days never had the word. These heroes of faith that we listed there never had the word. It was not smooth for them. It would take the waiting on the Urim and Thummim for them to have the prophetic word. It would take a king calling people like Elijah to come and speak to them that what is God saying to you. But you don't need that anymore these days. You have the word of God. And the Bible says that the incoming of the word gives light. That's what the Bible says. You have the word of God in your hand. You have everything to achieve the best of life for yourself. Do you even read it? Do you check it? Do you speak to yourself in the word? The second thing, the third thing is that God's love is truly made complete in man. God's love is truly made complete in man. Looking at the lives of the heroes of faith, their obedience in God's word brought about God's complete love to them. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. God, in his special way, showed his love to them in that he picked them out from the multitude. Does that ring a bell to any of you this morning? He picked them out from the multitude, from generation. He called Abraham out of his father's house and said, Abraham, walk with me and be perfect. You know, you're sitting here today because God has called you out. Amen. Through his son, Jesus Christ. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you created a relationship with God. That is a privilege. That privilege is what you have now. Jesus appeared in flesh and gave you the kingdom of God. They were in that love relationship with God, and they were able to walk with God. When God was introducing, I've said this before as well, when God was introducing David, he said, a man after my heart. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. Moses has his doubt in his ability to do what God has directed him to do. He said, I can't talk. I'm a stammerer. I'm this and that. But God knew his plan and purpose for him. Just the same way he knew his plan and purpose for you. You might sit down here and say, oh, I can't reach out to people. I'm not the kind of person. I'm a very shy person. I can't really share the gospel. But no. He says, you've been saved. You need to rise up for the salvation of others. He's called you. He gave you a commandment. Go into the world and preach the gospel. The moment you accepted Jesus, the boldness of Jesus comes into you. He says, no one then sees you. They see Jesus in you, the hope of glory. They see the power that's manifested in Jesus. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And the way he's given unto him, he's given it unto you as well. And because he's received that power, he said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. That is what Jesus wants you to do. The best of you is yet to come. Because Jesus is working in you for a great achievement. There's a lot of things that is wrapped up in a Christian that we're not utilizing. We need to be able to actualize what God has put in us. We need to be able to fulfill what God has put in us. It's not just going to work, achieving work, being successful in our profession, in our work, but being what God wants us to be. What does God want me to be? God wants me to be an example of believer to the world. God wants me to be the light of the world. God wants me to show forth his glory into this world. That is how I can fulfill my potential. Not Monday to Sunday, just doing what I know best to do, doing my job or living my life. Paul said, the life I now live. Look at that word. The life I now live, I live for him who loves me and gave himself for me. What is the life you live? What is your life? Is your life just about putting food on your table? Then everyone can do that. Every man can do that. But that is not what a Christian should be. A Christian, to fulfill his potential, should be reaching out to the dying world, should be touching life, should be changing life, should be changing circumstances. If you can't go out, you can kneel down, you can go on your knees and pray. The nation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we cannot just sit down and fold our hands and just let the world go on the way it is going without playing our part. Because we can join the world and do what the world is doing. We can go to work, get paid, do our daily things, get paid, come to church, do our prayers, pray for our family, pray for our children. But we need to pray for the world. The world is looking at us and saying, these ones, what makes them different? What makes them different is what our brother Les has just told us. Going out there, touching those people on the street, talking to them. Those are the things that we need to be doing to fulfill our potential in this world that we live in. We've not been saved to come and sit down and grow fat like Jeshurun. We've been saved so that we can bring others to salvation. We've been called into this special relationship so that we can show forth the light of him who has called us out of darkness into his light. God has given us all this power. He says, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And as it's been given unto him, he gave it to us. And he's given us all this ability. We all don't need to be standing here and preaching. We all don't need to be going on the street and preaching. But we can win battles on our knees. A good example for us is Daniel. Daniel, when he said, no one should pray. No one should pray to God anymore. You just pray to the king and everything. Daniel went into his room and prayed. He prayed in his room. What happened? Daniel's prayer caused commotion and trouble. He was thrown into the lion's den. But the lion could not touch him. But all the people that rose against Daniel, what happened to them? They were eaten by the lion. But it changed the heart of the king. The three Hebrew brothers, they said, we will not bow down to your idol. And they said, even if our God will not save us, we will not bow down to your idols. But because of what they did, because of their testimony of faith in God, an heathen king, a king who does not know God, could see the appearance of a fourth person in the fire and say, the appearance looks like the Son of God. Brothers, if that could happen in their days, when Jesus had not come, when Jesus had not died, when Jesus had not been resurrected, when Jesus had not redeemed, when the redemption and grace has not come, it could happen in your days now. You've been given all these potentials and this power. You've been given this ability. It is now left for you to make the best of it. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me to preach the gospel. That is the same Spirit that is upon you right now, brothers and sisters. God has given you the ability to do all this. And not just Jesus coming alone. The fact that we now have the Holy Spirit to prompt us, to direct us, to teach us, to lead us. I encourage you this morning that there's a lot in you that the world is waiting for. And I will end by saying, the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let the world see the light of God in you and glorify God the Father. God bless you all this morning. And I just want you to think about this very well and reach out to as many as you can in your life. God wants to use you. Amen. God wants to use me. Yes. And it's now time to rise up and be counted. Amen. God bless you.